Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Muhammad Citizen for the week of August 12, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article. It's headlined, it has a banner of 24th Annual Run Muhammad, and the headline reads, Strong Fundraising Tradition Continues. MAYC Director expects final dollar amount to be in line with previous years. Hundreds of runners laced up and took to the courses for the 24th annual Run Muhammad last weekend, aiming for good times and fun, and all for a good cause. The annual event is a fundraiser for the Muhammad Area Youth Club, a not-for-profit organization that serves youths 6 to 18 and their families. It supports after-school programming and hosts young people during winter, spring, and summer break. MAYC also operates a junior high after-school club, a high school building club, and more. It serves more than 1,000 youth annually. It was awesome, said Sarah Balgoyan, MAYC Executive Director. We had a lot of people, almost 500 participants, and hundreds of volunteers. Run Muhammad is a tradition for many people, especially Alan Singleton and Mark Kessler, Balgoyan noted. We had, again, two fellows from the local community who ran it for the 24th time, so they run every race, she said. Total funds raised are expected to be in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $25,000. We're still working on all the logistics of that. We anticipate that it'll be in line with previous years, Balgoyan said Wednesday. The first time Main Street Mile drew about 60 runners and was sponsored by Walk Chiropractic. We had MAYC kids and staff that were in that as well, she noted. Vital for the event and each run are volunteers. As is typical, Run Muhammad drew helpers from local clubs, such as Rotary and the Lions, plus Muhammad Seymour School volunteers, such as football players and cheerleaders, and many more. Volunteers are key. We've got somebody at every mile for the hydration stations, Balgoyan said. And assistance also is needed in welcoming runners, registration, and more. Local businesses help sponsor the runs, too. Run Muhammad began last Friday night with the Main Street Mile, a fun walk-slash-run down Main Street in downtown Muhammad. That began at Grace Baptist Church. The event shifted into high gear on Saturday with the 7 a.m. step-off at Muhammad Seymour High School of the Half Marathon Relay, 10K, and at 7:20, the 5K. Overall results included Brian Butcher of Muhammad, first place in the Main Street Mile, Elias Ruto of Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, first place in the half marathon, Team Buffalo Trails XC, first place in the half relay, Nick Mees of Muhammad, first place in the 5K, Andrew Walmer, City Not Given, first place in the 10K. First place female finishers were Paige Jansen of Champaign, Main Street Mile, Helen Mugo, City Not Given, but half marathon winner, Allison Sizemore of Gibson City, 5K winner, and Maggie McPherson of Sterling, the 10K winner. Next on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Muhammad Music Festival. The headline reads, This is humongous. Organizers making last-minute fixes so event runs smoothly. In just 2 short weeks, downtown Muhammad will be filled with music lovers, food vendors, bands, and more for the annual Muhammad Music Festival, which will feature country music star Joe Nichols. And all the concerts are open to the public and free to attend. The only optional cost to enjoy the music is new this year, $10 for pit passes right in front of the main stage. This is nerve-wracking time, Dave Parsons, Music Fest Committee Chairman, said Tuesday, with the annual, with the August 23rd and 24th festival approaching quickly. Last-minute problems inevitably prop up, he added. You take a deep breath and you figure out a solution, then wait for the next day's problems. But it's good, he said. At the end of the day, nobody will see the little hiccups. We'll get it fixed. The village administrative building's grounds at 503 East Main Street is the center of all the downtown activities. The fest also includes a carnival, beer tent, bags tournament, and 9 a.m. Saturday morning parade that steps off from and ends back up at Lincoln Trail Elementary School. Muhammad has a lot of festivals, but it's truly known for this one. This is humongous. This has become Muhammad's premier event of the year, said Parsons, who's been in charge of the festival committee for about 12 years. You start to hear more and more people talk about the fact that this is the big event. This is kind of East Central Illinois' big event. This is the big one. This really is kind of the one that really showcases Muhammad, he added. Local leaders heading up the festival planning expect between 8,000 and 10,000 people to flock to downtown for the two-day festival. The cost to put on the musical event is in the neighborhood of $100,000, leading to the new pit pass option for the main stage concerts this year, Parsons explained. We can only ask our local businesses to donate so much money. We can only ask the village to donate so much money, he said. We have to find every revenue source that there is, so we're going to charge $10 this year for a pit pass. Organizers were reluctant to add any fee, wanting to keep the concerts completely free. It kind of hurt my heart a little bit to do it. Some people say, well, it's not a free concert. Well, it still kind of is, Parsons said. It's our growth, you know, and we have to do what we have to do. There will be a second stage this year for the music festival to be centered at Sangamon on Main. Parsons noted that for that stage, local music acts likely will be added to the festival events in coming days. He encourages people to watch the fest's Facebook page and other social media avenues for the latest on the festival's lineup. More information about the music festival is available at MuhammadMusicFest.com. On the main stage music roster so far this year, Friday, August 23rd, it's at 6:15 p.m., Nickel and Dimes. At 7:30 p.m., Blues Brothers, that's B-L-O-O-Z-E Brothers. At 9:30 p.m., Southern Accents. And on Saturday, the 24th of August, at 11 a.m., Building 429, at 6:10 p.m., Honoré Pommier. At 6:45 p.m., it's Feudin' Hillbillies. At 8 p.m., it's Smithfield. And at 9:30 p.m., it is Joe Nichols. And this is under the heading of Nickel and Dimes. This band boasts strong blended harmonies, slick guitar and bass riffs, and synchronized rhythmic beats, according to the bio on the group's website. Members of the band are Gary Collett, Nicole Collett, Dave Cooper, Gary Wallace, that's Wally, and Zach Burke. They play everything from rock to pop, country to southern rock, and more. And under the heading of Blues Brothers, one of Chicagoland's most in-demand show bands, the Blues Brothers has been taking the stage for over a quarter of a century, according to its website bio. Their goal is to honor the music made by the original Blues, B-L-U-E-S, brothers in movies, TV, and recordings, and also the spirit in which they played, from Dan Aykroyd's love of traditional blues and soul to John Belushi's love of classic rock, the band's website notes. Under the heading of Southern Accents, this Nashville, Tennessee-based group is a tribute band to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. According to its website, Southern Accents is the next best thing to the original and is the ultimate Tom Petty tribute band. A press release from Southern Accents states, comprising six superlative musicians from Nashville's rich music scene, Southern Accents have been bringing fans the Petty experience for the last 3 years, not only performing his timeless hits with exacting reverence, but even looking and acting the part. The band aims to bring to life petty classics from American Girl to Refugee, plus older rarities and obscure B-sides. And under the heading of Building 429, we have this. This Grammy-nominated Christian band has earned widespread acclaim since its 2004 debut album, from which the title track, We Won't Be Shaken, went to number one on radio. Its members aim to deliver lyrically driven, anthemic hit songs with a consistent message of hope, along with high-energy concerts and sold-out venues internationally. Building 429 also received a 2014 and multiple 2012 Song of the Year Billboard Music Awards for We Won't Be Shaken and Where I Belong, respectively. Two BMI Song of the Year Awards, Where I Belong in 2013 and Glory Defined in 2005. A 2014 Group of the Year K-Love Fan Award nomination and a Best New Artist GMA Dove Award in 2005. RIAA certified gold single Where I Belong further became one of the longest running Christian number ones in Billboard's history at 15 weeks. And under the heading of Onale Pommier, an artist who lives in Nashville, Tennessee, Onale Pommier is a Mohammed Seymour High School graduate who performs traditional country songs. She also is working on her own songs and career in music. Under the heading of Feudin' Hillbillies, led by Ryan Ideas, this band offers a lot of country, some originals, some funk, a little classic rock, and a few pop culture classics, according to information on its website. They've opened for renowned artists, including country music star Luke Bryan. Under the heading of Smithfield, this contemporary country music duo originated in Texas and was founded in 2011. It's comprised of vocalists Trey and Jennifer and took the stage by storm with their memorable music and stunning harmonies, according to their website. The pair grew up together, and after 1 year in Nashville, Tennessee, Smithfield has opened for artists including Kane Brown and Scotty McCreery. The axe mixes Trey's rock-influenced background and Jennifer's penchant for classical country. And under the heading of Joe Nichols, country music star Joe Nichols began his career in 2002 with Man with a Memory and has tallied 6 number one songs and 8 top tens, including Broken Heartsville, The Impossible, and Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off. According to his website biography, he's a 3-time Grammy nominee whose last album, Crickets, produced number one songs, Yeah, and Sunny in 75. His newest project is a brand new selection of old school country music, ranging from Merle Haggard's Sing Me Back Home to The Rose Is For Today, originally recorded by Charlie Pride. His music has been influenced by country singers, including Don Williams, Keith Whitley, and George Strait. His new release, Never Gets Old, continues to feature his recognizable baritone. And also, we have this. It's under the heading of Duck Race Planned. During the festival, on Saturday, the Mahomet Parks and Recreation Department will hold its annual Sangamon River Duck Race. Launched from the bike path bridge that stretches over the Sangamon River, people can sponsor a duck for $5 each to win a $500 grand prize and numerous other prizes. Proceeds benefit the Parks and Recreation Department and the Upper Sangamon River Conservancy. To sponsor a duck, go to the Parks and Recreation Office at 218 South Lake of the Woods Road. Log on to MahometCreation.com. Stop by the office of Mahomet office at 503 East Main Street or see any USRC member. The race begins at 6 p.m. Saturday, August 24th at the bridge in Barber Road, 703 South McDougal Road in Mahomet. Now turning to page A2, under 10 Question Friday, we have this interview with Melissa Swidergal, Carson Cotter, and Morgan Wood, chatting with the Mahomet Citizens' Penny Weaver. The licensed representatives at Darwin Fosten's State Farm Insurance Office in Mahomet teamed up to answer our questions this week. Pictured in the picture were our Melissa Swindergal, Carson Cotter, and Morgan Wood. Melissa lives in Gibson City with her boyfriend Kevin and her daughter Harper, 4. She's worked at State Farm for more than 2 years. Carson lives in Fisher with her husband Nick and their daughter Ava, 18 months. She's been at State Farm for about a year. And Morgan lives in Decatur with her husband Seth and their daughter Emmy. She's worked at State Farm for about 4 years. First question, if you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with the extra time? We can't even come up with an answer for that. We love sleep too much. Can we just use that extra time to get extra sleep? Question 2. What hobby would you get into if time and money weren't an issue? Melissa, I would invest more into my photography business. Morgan, I would open a clothing boutique. That's a dream of mine. One day, it will happen. And Carson, my mom and I would be event planners together. Question number 3. What could you give a 45-minute presentation on with no preparation? All of us, insurance, of course. Morgan, dogs, or Justin Timberlake. Carson, the Fisher Fair. And Melissa, photography. Question 4. When you are old, what do you think children will ask you to tell a story about? Something about the internet, electronics, how we survived without whatever new technology they have. Melissa's 4-year-old daughter recently asked her, Mom, what gifts did you play on your tablet when you were little? And she was shocked to find out she didn't have one. Question 5, what's the favorite piece of clothing you own or did own and why? And the question was answered in a total, any type of leggings or jeggings. Comfort is key. Question 6. What are the small things that would make your day better? Why is that? When we have nice customers, it's amazing how a little bit of kindness can brighten up your day. Also, seeing our kids after work is the best part of our days. Question 7. What is the luckiest thing that has happened to you and when did it occur? We all got to work together. Work friends or your best friends. The bonus, we all have daughters so that they can be best friends too. Question 8. What is one of your favorite smells? The answer, any of the fall scents, apple candles, pumpkin candles, etc. Question 9. What fictional places would you most like to go? Easy. Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. How do we get there? Question 10. If you could give advice based on your knowledge today to yourself as a 20-year-old, what would it be? Don't worry so much. You're going to figure life out. And since we couldn't stop at 10, one bonus question. What gets you fired up? Fired up as in excited? Probably food, desserts, ice cream, chocolate, and candy. And now, turning to page A3, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Pamela Pooh Elizabeth Adams passed away at 3:23 a.m. Sunday, August 4, 2019, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to Pooh's family to help with final expenses. Condolences may be offered online at RennerWyckoffChapel.com. Kathleen A. Armstrong, 76, of Mahomet, died Saturday, August 3, 2019, at her home. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made to American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, or www.changedirection.org to benefit veterans' suicide prevention. A memorial service will be held at a later date. James H. Jim Brucker, 90, of Gibson City, passed away at 11:48 p.m. Thursday, August 1, 2019, at home. His funeral service was at 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 7, 2019, at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with Pastor Jim Davis officiating. Visitation was from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Burial was in Mount Hope Cemetery in Sibley. Robert Bob Ensign, 64, died Saturday, July 27, 2019, at home in Urbana. Bob was a carpenter and loved working with tools. He shared often about the many buildings and homes he helped build in the community. Bob also worked as a heavy equipment operator for Blue Earth Environmental in Mankato, Minnesota. There will be a private celebration of life later for family and close friends. Shirley Ann Gowdy Memorial Service will be 87 years young, will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 10th. They were at Saturday, August 10th at Sedoris United Methodist Church. A light lunch followed in the fellowship hall and all were invited. Mrs. Gowdy, the family gratefully suggests that memorial contributions be directed to Sedoris United Methodist Church, 214 West Church Street in Sedoris. Ralph L. Langenheim, Jr., former Democratic Champaign County Board member, 97 of Urbana, died Saturday, August 3rd, 2019, at home. Ralph served as an officer in the U.S. Navy during World War II. After training at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, he served in the D-Day landings. He retired from the Navy Reserve as a lieutenant commander. A memorial celebration will be held at a later date. Lux Memorial Chapel in Rantoul is handling the arrangements. Piper Isabel Lewis, the infant daughter of Daniel and Allie Little Lewis, was born and entered into eternal rest on Tuesday, July 23, 2019, at Memorial Medical Center. Cremation was provided by Butler Cremation Tribute Center prior to ceremonies. The family asks that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to the Chatham Area Public Library, 600 East Spruce Street, in Chatham, Illinois, 62629. On Friday, August 2, 2019, Robert F. McFarlane received his angel wings and joined the love of his life, his wife Joyce, in heaven. He left this earth peacefully at 2:30 p.m., surrounded by his family, whom he cherished. His visitation was Wednesday, August 7, 2019, at Owens Funeral Home, 101 North Elm Street in Champaign, from 5 to 7 p.m., with a wake service at 4:30 p.m. Bob's funeral mass was at 10 a.m. Thursday, August 8, at St. Matthew Catholic Church, 1303 Lincolnshire Drive in Champaign, with Monsignor Stanley Diptula officiating. He was buried in Roselawn Cemetery, Champaign, beside his loving wife. Jean McClure Morrison died peacefully at home Friday, July 12, 2019, at age 97. At the time of her death, she was living with her daughter, Tess. Jean attended Oberlin to start college in the fall of 1938. 2 years later, she transferred to Syracuse University, where she graduated in 1942. Jean requested that her body be donated to Georgetown Medical School. There will be a private service, and her cremated remains will be buried alongside her husband in the family plot in Mahomet. If those who remember Jean wish to make a donation, please send it to the American Red Cross. Harriet Rose of Mahomet died Monday, August 5, 2019. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Sunset Funeral Home in Champaign at 710 North Neal Street. James Terry, 75, of Champaign, passed away Monday, July 29, 2019, at home in Champaign. Jim was born in Milan, Tennessee on January 10, 1944, the son of Floyd and Dolly Terry. He was raised in Alamo, Tennessee, where he attended school and remained until he joined the Air Force. He proudly served 8 years of active duty and was stationed in San Antonio, Texas, and Amarillo, Texas, and Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul. He had a 4-year assignment at the U.S. Pentagon and a combat tour of duty in Vietnam in 1969. A celebration of Jim's life was held Tuesday, August 6, 2019, at 7 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 710 North Neal Street in Champaign. A memorial visitation was 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Per Jim's request, those attending wore casual attire. Lisa Zernell, 59, of Mahomet, died at 5:16 p.m. Friday, August 2, 2019, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Blair Owens Funeral Home, 102 East Dunbar Street in Mahomet. And now, returning to the news and views on page A5, we have this article. It's headlined, Mahomet Man Convicted in Aggravated DUI Case. A Mahomet man faces up to 14 years in prison when he is sentenced in October for causing the death of a friend because he drove while drunk. A Champaign County jury deliberated about 5.5 hours July 31st before convicting Chad E. Smith, 28, of 2 counts of aggravated driving under the influence on July 14, 2018, leading to the death of Michael Donahue, 32, of Mahomet. They returned the verdict about 8 p.m. Judge Brett Olmstead set sentencing for October 11th and refused to grant a request by Assistant State's Attorney Will Lynch to increase Smith's bond, even after hearing that Smith was on probation for a 2016 Douglas County misdemeanor DUI at the time of his arrest. Smith, who listed an address in the 200 block of Lincoln Street, has been free on bond in the Champaign County felony DUI case since late July 2018. Testimony during the 2-day trial was that the crash happened north of Mahomet and west of Illinois 47 near County Roads 2500 North and 350 East. Brenda Lehman, who lives in that area, testified she was awakened by Smith banging on her door about 2:40 a.m. on July 14th. He complained of his arm hurting and told her he had wrecked his car. He called 911. Carl Arrow Ambulance EMT Chris Humer and Corn Belt Fire Chief John Kohler both responded and testified they found Smith at Lehman's house and that he reported his left arm hurt and that Smith smelled of alcohol. Champaign County Sheriff Sergeant Chris Darr testified he arrived shortly after the first responders and asked Smith if there was anyone else that they needed to worry about, and he replied no. As Darr was speaking with Smith, Mahomet Police Officer William Ward located the crashed car in a field of mature soybeans and saw a hand protruding from under Smith's Chevrolet Malibu with a wristband on it. Mr. Donahue was under the car and had received a fatal head injury. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Sheriff's Deputy J.P. Reefstick testified he went to Carl Foundation Hospital to interview Smith and learned that Smith and Mr. Donahue had been at the Fisher Fair the night before the crash. Smith consented to a blood draw. State Crime Lab scientist Alexandra Baluka, an expert in toxicology, testified that the blood sample taken by Reefstick about 5:20 a.m. measured Smith's blood alcohol concentration at 0.11, while another sample taken by hospital personnel just before 4 a.m. was the equivalent of 0.15. Katie Isaac of rural Mahomet testified she had ridden to the Fisher Fair with Smith and Mr. Donahue earlier in the evening, that she and the men went their own ways during the evening but got together again to ride back home. Isaac said Smith was driving when he dropped her off at her home about midnight and that both he and Mr. Donahue, a passenger, waved goodbye to her as they left. Smith's attorney Jim Martinkus of Champaign called no witnesses to testify on Smith's behalf, instead relying on his cross-examination of state witnesses to try to plant doubt. Smith faces 3 years to 14 years behind bars. There is a possibility he could receive probation, but the law says Olmstead would have to find that extraordinary circumstances exist to justify a community-based sentence. This has been the Muhammad Citizen for the week of August 12, 2019. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.